Good evening, San Antonio. News Talk 550 KTSA time, 8:37. Sean Paul Kelly back with you in for Jack Riccardi, who will return Monday night. This is the second night of our great three-night stand here in March as we watch the basketball games end, and hopefully there's an upset in that Duke game, and Texas A&M is going to the Final Four, and President Bush just got back from Latin America. Who knew? Apparently not many people, because it's not one of those things that really gets a lot of news coverage, but Latin America is for all intents and purposes our backyard. And so I think it's very, very important. You know, when I'm hosting the show, I always like to devote at least one segment to international issues. Sometimes it's more if we talk about Iraq or maybe Iran or some of the other places out there that are in the center of the news. But the world is a big place, and there are a lot of places that don't make it into the news. And our president just visited Latin America, and I think it's important to get a sense and an idea of what it was that he hoped to achieve while he was there. And so, in that vein, we have asked Shannon O'Neill, the Center for the Council for Foreign Relations, to come talk to us about the president's most recent trip to Latin America. Good evening, Shannon. How are you?
Hi, good evening. I'm fine. Thank you.
Oh, good. Excellent. So the president went to Brazil, Uruguay, Colombia, Guatemala, and then finished off his trip in Mexico. Was there one large overarching theme to this trip, or was it a bunch of small bore programs that he was trying to promote?
Well, there was one overarching theme, and that theme really was to reassert the United States in Latin America. We haven't been paying a lot of attention to them in recent years through most of his presidency, and particularly since September 11th. So really, he went down there to show that the United States cares about Latin America and cares about particular issues important to Latin America, especially issues of poverty and inequality. And so there was a main overarching theme in terms of this issue. And then there were specific themes for various countries as well.
It's kind of late in the game to go to Latin America, wouldn't you say? I mean, what is it? It's 2007. He's been president since 2001. He's going to be president till 2009.
Exactly. Well, he came into his presidency back in 2000 saying Latin America was going to be incredibly important for his presidency, and saying actually that Mexico was the most important foreign policy relationship that the United States has. Now, as we've seen over the last 6 years, things have changed. The focus has moved to the Middle East. And so Latin America really fell off of the priorities of foreign policy. So here, the last 18 months of his presidency, he's turning back to Latin America. And one thing he's doing here, I think, is trying to establish his policy legacy. And so he went to Latin America this last week, and while down there in both Guatemala and Mexico, he announced that he would begin to push for comprehensive immigration reform here in the United States. And so this could become his main policy legacy outside of the war in Iraq.
Huh, that's very interesting. You know, I do want to talk, I mean, at some point we will talk about immigration reform. And I think, you know, there was a big hubbub when he began the trip, when he got to Brazil. There were lots of protesters, and as I recall, there was a great deal of protesters. They really weren't happy to have Bush down there. What was the reason for this? Was it the general anti-American animus that some in the Latin American left have for Americans, American presidents and politicians, or was it more something, a different focus?
I mean, there were protests all along the way, and some of those were led by Hugo Chavez, who's the president of Venezuela, who's been anti-American especially and been sort of a focus for an anti-Bush policy.
Not to mention a source of great humorous anecdotes for us here in Talk
this
Radio
is true.
World.
This is true. So Hugo Chavez was out in fine form, too, among many of these protests, especially one that happened in Argentina. But many of these protests, you know, one, it was protesting the United States in general and its inattention to Latin America, but also Latin Americans in general have been very anti the war in Iraq. And so that was part of these protests. They definitely come out on the other side of this issue.
Yeah, in my travels, I have noticed that when I meet Latin Americans overseas, that really is the biggest thing, that they really have it stuck in their craw about the war. They really do. They're very, very upset by that.
Well, you know, Latin America, the United States and Latin America have had a long history, some of it very good, some of it probably less good, and some of it has involved unilateral intervention in their countries over the last 200 years. So they're very sensitive about that anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I remember when I was working on my undergraduate degree I got an undergraduate degree in history, and I remember our professor, I took a survey of American diplomatic history, and we started reading some of the interventions that it's the stuff you really don't learn in high school. And you really don't get a whole lot of that anyways if you're not majoring in history. But I really was surprised at the amount of interventions that we did in Latin America and especially the Caribbean.
It's true. I mean, a lot of these phrases that we think about today, the idea of gunboat diplomacy or the speak softly and carry a big stick, that all came from Latin America. That's what we did in Latin America.
Yeah, I think it was it under Teddy Roosevelt's administration, the crisis with Venezuela that we had? Yeah, with the European, it was financing some of Venezuela's debt and whatnot. Very, very fascinating how deep our history goes back in Latin America. Now, the president was in Brazil, and he discussed with the Brazilian president ethanol. Is that correct?
He did.
Talking about ethanol. Did they sign an agreement?
They did. I mean, Brazil is actually one of the most important producers of ethanol in the world. It's second only to the United States. And they're actually very efficient producers of ethanol. They make it out of sugar cane, not corn. And so it goes directly into the ethanol products. So they're very efficient and competitive in that market. So they have a big interest in increasing the overall world ethanol market. And obviously, given the events of recent years, we have an interest in developing alternative fuels.
Yes.
So that was the basis of this coordination. And so what they signed was an agreement to work together in the future to develop ethanol products and ethanol markets worldwide.
Okay. And do you see that as being something that redounds to the United States' interest? Is that something that we benefit from greatly, or maybe Brazil benefits from it more so, or is it kind of a wash for both sides? We both benefit equally.
Well, this is really a longer-term project. This isn't something that's going to change the ethanol market next year or the year after. This is sort of a longer-term project to develop this market. And what was on the table, I mean, it will help both countries, but really what was on the table and what wasn't on the table is interesting. What Brazil really wanted was to be able to import their ethanol to the United States or export it to the United States. And right now in the United States, we have a tariff on ethanol that comes in. It's a 54-cent per gallon tariff.
Ouch.
So it's an incredibly high tariff protecting our production here domestically. And that was not on the table for discussions. So while they talked about developing future markets and technology for future markets, real change in the markets as they are today was not on the table.
That is very interesting. So basically the corn farmers in Iowa and Kansas or the plain states nixed any kind of a real reduction in that tariff.
Exactly. And as we near the next election year, 2008, that probably will not come down in the next 2 years.
That is very interesting. You know, it really is amazing how foreign politics plays such a big deal in our foreign policy. I think that's something that most Americans are not really aware of. And Americans, from my understanding, the turn of the last century, from the 19th to the 20th century, many Americans still lived on a farm. It was still a somewhat rural country. It shifted very quickly, but many Americans were very aware of international farm policy. They were aware of how it affected them, you know? And now, since we all live in the cities, we're really not aware of how much the farm policy and farm subsidies and whatnot affect our foreign policy. You think that's accurate?
I think that is true. And I think what's interesting, particularly for Latin America, is how entangled our foreign policy with Latin America is in our domestic policy. And obviously two issues there are trade and immigration.
Yep. Yep. Now, did the president talk about free trade at all on his trip?
He did. He talked about free trade, particularly in Uruguay. When he was down there, we signed a sort of pre-free trade agreement with them, the idea that we'll explore a free trade agreement. So he talked about it there in Uruguay. He talked about it somewhat in Colombia, where we also have a free trade agreement that's been signed in Colombia and is waiting approval in the Congress in the United States right now. And then he also talked about it in Guatemala. He talked about the CAFTA agreement, okay, the Central American Free Trade Agreement that was signed a year ago, how that's developing in Guatemala, and then that was also on the agenda in Mexico. So really, almost all of these countries, some aspect of free trade and trade was involved.
Okay, all right. And, you know, we're going to go to a break, but when we come back, I definitely want to talk about immigration, and we're definitely going to cover that. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon O'Neill on the Council for Foreign Relations. You are listening to News Talk 550 KTSA. The time is 8:50 p.m., March 15th. I believe I got that today right. I've had a rough week. It just hasn't, things haven't gone my way. Yes, it is. It's March 15th. My computer tells me so. And we had the time change just a couple days ago, and I'm making it. I'm getting there. We're going to slide right into home here at the end of the week, and everything will be all right. Coming up, 9 o'clock, the big interview with Greg Guile. He is the editor of AmericanaRoots.com. We are going to talk about Americana music and the state of pop music and pop culture in America and what we can do to make it better. Right now, however, we are back with Shannon O'Neill with the Council for Foreign Relations. We are talking about President Bush's most recent trip to Latin America. When we went to the break, you had mentioned Colombia. Shannon, has there been any change in the Colombia, our policy vis-a-vis the drug war?
Well, we've obviously been supporting Colombia and putting billions of dollars towards Colombia's war on drugs over the last decade.
They're like the second or third largest recipient of American foreign aid, right?
Exactly. They're one of the largest, and they get the vast majority, actually, of aid that goes to Latin America in general. And so, you know, there have been some improvements there. We've seen greater control of the main cities there. We've seen some control of issues of explosions and things that were happening in the cities. Mm-hmm. The cities are much safer. But there are real issues that remain in Colombia right now. And the main issue that's happening right now is the government, run by Álvaro Uribe, who's the president right now, who's been very much hard on terrorism, hard on drug trafficking. His government in general is very closely associated with a group that are called the paramilitaries, and they're sort of the rightist version of the drug traffickers versus the leftist version, which are sort of the terrorists.
What is the name of it? Because the drug trafficker, one of the organizations is FARC, okay, right?
Right, so they're more of the leftist,
okay,
old school guerrillas that have really moved into drug trafficking and are now a trafficking network.
And the rightist version, what is their name?
It's called the AUC.
That's right. Okay.
Called.
All right. Okay.
But there have been some links with fairly high-level officials within the Uribe government. And so that's been a big issue for him in the last few months. In some ways, Bush was going down, I think, to bolster his friend and his close confidant within Latin America, showing him that he supports him as a leader and his government, despite some of these scandals that have been emerging recently.
Was Bush received anywhere positively?
Well, he chose five countries that are actually fairly well disposed to the United States. So he was received positively in general all over the region. But his strongest reception was probably in Colombia. That's
it
where
was.
The closest
okay.
tie that they have is.
That's very interesting. And like you were saying earlier, our domestic policy is tied into our policy with Latin America. And I think in Colombia more so probably than other countries other than Mexico. I mean, Mexico, there is a dynamic that is inescapable that everybody is aware of. But I think in Mexico with the importation of illicit drugs and our foreign aid there and connections in Colombia, it's very thick.
Sure, drugs are the other domestic policy issue along with trade and immigration that have incredibly important consequences for foreign policy but are really domestic issues for the United States.
Yeah, well put. That's a very good way of saying it. I wish I'd said that myself. Now, getting to the real main event here, Mexico. The president obviously was received very well by Felipe Calderón, and I think maybe there might be a bond between the two men because they both came to the presidency in remarkably similar fashions, no?
It is interesting. They came in similar fashions. And I think there's a lot of respect between the two leaders. In the first 100 days of Calderon's presidency, he's come out very strong. He's been very much a law and order president. He's gone after the drug traffickers right away out of the gate, and I think that's something the United States appreciates. And he has reached out to the United States on several other issues. So there is a bond developing there, and I think developed over the last 2 days with the two presidents together in Merida. But
yeah,
we're not, I was just going to say, we're not going to be as close here. I don't think you'll see a relationship grow as close as you saw between Fox and Bush, who was the previous president of Mexico.
You know, that really is, as I look at it, that really was kind of a tragic relationship, because I think there was a bond between the two men when Bush was governor of Texas. You know, I think that Fox thought that, hey, you know, we're actually going to get something from this president. He's actually going to really, you know, we have a good relationship. We might actually get comprehensive immigration reform, some kind of migrant labor package. And then 9/11 happened, and it just, Mexico was completely off the radar at that point.
I think that's true that that happened. And it was in, both of them were governors, and both of them came into the presidency within 6 months of each other.
Yep.
So they had a lot of momentum. Both were new presidents trying to begin their terms and lay out the important issues, and they just didn't match up for the two countries, which was hurtful to Fox and really hurt him on the domestic political scene in Mexico.
Yeah, it did. It definitely it made it very difficult for him. And I spent some time in Mexico this year, or last year, excuse me, and have seen some of the, no, it's unfortunate, because his presidency began with such hope, this change from PRI to PAN, and it ended really kind of, it was very sad. It really was how it ended. But immigration, the big deal at first was the fence. And now the president has, they passed, you know, the bill for the fence. And now the president goes down there and he talks about immigration, as he called it, migration, which Hugh Dobbs was taking a couple pot shots at him this evening with his newfound word. Do you think that the president will be able to get what he wants when it comes to an amnesty provision, whatnot?
This is really the big question, is what can he get out of this? He's obviously put it on the agenda by announcing it on this trip, both in Guatemala, then in Mexico. He said he's going to come back and put his political capital behind this and really work for a comprehensive immigration reform.
Has he got a credit card? Because last I checked, he didn't have any much political capital, right?
That's true. I mean, the downside for him is that he's entering the last 18 months of his presidency. He's a lame duck presidency, and he's been discredited given other things that are going along around in the world.
Do we have that Aflac duck? We can get the quack, quack, you know, because he's a lame duck.
But the good side that he has is he's actually now working with a Democratic Congress, which may be much more amenable to passing immigration reform than the previous Congress. And this is something that he is really, it seems, putting his money behind. He wants a big policy win so that his legacy when he leaves the presidency is not only Iraq.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
For a governor from Texas and a president from Texas, what could be more important than comprehensive immigration reform?
Yeah. Will a comprehensive immigration reform deal staunch the flow of illegal immigrants coming into the United States?
Well, it will change the flow. Obviously, what the reform is will depend on whether it staunches the flow. We don't know what's on the table yet, and we don't know what could actually be passed through. But it is something that could potentially staunch the flow and make it easier to actually control the borders, have the people come through in a more systematic way, have them recognized and be able to know who's coming in and who's going back. And then the issues on the border would be different types of issues. They'd be issues of smuggling, drugs, and other types of people, not this mass of immigrants that are coming for economic reasons.
Okay. All right. Well, Shannon, thank you very, very much. It's been a very enlightening conversation. I'm grateful to have you on the show, and we look forward to having you again.
Great. You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Shannon O'Neill, the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about the president's most recent trip to Latin America. Coming up next, Greg Guile, the editor of AmericanaRoots.com, talk about his big presentation at South by Southwest. All kinds of good things. He's brought a couple CDs. I can see him in the booth. He's smiling. He's ready to go. He's ready to talk. This is News Talk 550 KTSA.